Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Simplified. This time hosted by elusive Pimpernel. What is that? Scarlet Pimpernel. You never find him. Narendra Shenoy.
You're talking about yourself.
I thought you were slightly referring to the fact that Shrikit's not here.
So, hi Chuck.
Yeah, hi.
Hi Tony.
Hi Narendra. You look like you've had a nice biryani.
Yeah. So today, we celebrated achievement of production targets in our factory.
Yeah.
By like having biryani for everyone.
Yeah. And listeners, this is not an innuendo. Just
it's a treat for the factory and the Oli factory.
you missed that. Yeah. Thanks to Tony, I have a feeling on the average listening speed of Simplified will go down from 1.5 to... Yeah. You're like, eh?
What is that again? Yeah, sly ones. Tony is very adept at...
So he's very dumb.
Yeah. We used to do a lot of this back in the Twitter days as well. Yeah. So there was this golden period when Chuck, Tony and I used to, away among other people.
Which is what that shorty was going to be all about. So okay, we will talk about it then. Okay.
So, yeah.
I think remember we had asked our listeners if they listen to podcasts on radio speed. Someone wrote to me saying they do for foreign language podcasts. So like Duolingo has these, like when you're learning French and all, they have podcasts. So probably like, you know, turn down the speed and listen to it because you need more time to comprehend the foreign language.
Yeah, otherwise you won't understand.
Yeah. Or like if you're making too many puns. But
coming back. So today's shorty is on something called stoicism, right? And
we are all here with very straight faces for this.
And it is something that will make you, dear listener, more serene and composed than you already are. So you can't.
I mean, the moment they stop listening to our episode, in any case, their mental state of mind becomes calmer.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's like I have many weird friends. So one weird friend, he told me that if he really wants to experience happiness, what he does, he drinks a lot of water.
Yeah,
and doesn't go to the bathroom. Till he is dying to go.
Right.
Okay. And till he can't hold it any longer, he'll hold on and then he'll go and he says that happiness. So.
Wow. Yeah. This seems the whole of Catholicism.
My worry is if universal basic income becomes a thing, you'll have more such jokers doing experiments like this.
So
stoicism.
Yeah. So there are many ways of making people more serene and composed than they already are. Like universal basic income that we discussed in an earlier episode. If you give anonymous deposits into people's bank accounts, they'll generally become more.
That's a nice idea. It'll just make people's lives nicer by just randomly sending people money via UPI. Okay. Yeah. No, but let's move on.
When we become, actually, we should stand for government and we promise to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just elect for us in the next election.
But I think all listeners should try and do this to us.
We'll
relay the results of this experiment. We feel happy when you send us money randomly.
So instead of that, the next best thing is to explain the philosophy of stoicism. So
An alternative to UPI, stoicism.
So if no one is making anonymous deposits into your bank account and you still want to feel happy, maybe you should consider stoicism.
Okay.
So
how do you become
stoic? So first, little history.
What is stoicism?
So stoicism was founded in Athens by this guy called Zeno of Citium. Okay. And this was in the 3rd century BC. Or maybe 4th century BC. I heard this one. Sorry for the digression. But someone told me this joke. It says when Virat Kohli was a little kid, somebody asked him apparently, what's your favorite TV channel? So he said CNBC. So the guy said, kya baat hai? This kid listens to business channel. So no, he's telling you he listens to Cartoon Network. Yeah. Thank you, Virat. Yeah. So this guy, Zeno, was a Phoenician merchant.
They all are.
And
yeah,
they made a lot of money.
They're all finished.
But he was like a philosophical bent of mind, and he went into a bookshop. That is a story. So he went into a bookshop. Okay. They used to have
in those days, it must have been a scroll shop.
Yeah, scroll. So anyway, he's talking to the bookshop guy, and he saw a book called Xenophon's Memorabilia or something like that. And he was very happy to see, you know, an account of Socrates' teaching. Mm-hmm. So then Socrates by that time was dead. So he asked the bookshop guy, who might I, who might I emulate to be? And he pointed out to one guy named Crates or Crates. And this Crates was what is called a cynic.
Okay.
And basically the cynics were just that. So they you know, they sort of try to ridicule everything. Mm-hmm. So
they were professional mockers.
Podcast hosts.
So this guy basically gave them, he apparently, Crates gave Zeno a bowl of lentil soup and made him run with it around Athens or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he ended up spilling it on his toga or something. And
is this the origin of xenophobia?
So Zeno got very phobic. No,
when he when the lentil soup fell down and created a little puddle, that became Dal Lake. So bad.
Anyway, he decided that the world needed a milder philosophy.
Yeah.
He started something called Stoicism. So it was
he started it.
Yeah. So he kept
the lentil
So he expounded it from a porch, and that porch was called Stoa.
Okay.
He was called a Stoic. And Zeno sort of passed away. Mm. And one of Zeno's admirers was a guy...
Tao of Seneca, by any chance?
Not Seneca. Another emperor who was one of the emperors after Alexander. Mm. So when Alexander died, there was a whole bunch of people who were like grabbing
next
the emperorship. So one guy who grabbed the emperorship was an admirer of Zeno. And then other would-be emperors sort of killed him. And then Zeno was forgotten. And then there was this guy named Epictetus. So Epictetus had, no one knows what his chest measurement is.
The elephant in the room has been answered. Thank you.
So he was, he was actually a former slave.
Okay.
And then he became a free person. And then he founded the philosophy, which I'm going to tell you in a while. So this is on the history section. And Epictetus was followed by Seneca. So Seneca was the greatest of the Stoic philosophers. Mm-hmm. Because he was quite a guy. So he was a wise guy, and he was one of the tutors of Nero, the emperor who was famous for...
Is this why he was fiddling?
The emperor who was famous for making blank CDs.
Blank CDs, which is such a clever name.
So it is a brilliant name. It is a fabulously brilliant name.
Nero burning
ROM.
So Seneca was, he was... People didn't like him because he was very, very sincere. And when his enemies found that they could take Seneca no longer, they told Nero that this guy is plotting against you. And Nero was one crackpot. So Nero asked Seneca, are you plotting against me? And Seneca said, if you think I'm plotting, but I'm not. He interpreted as a yes. Huh. And he told Seneca to drink poison and die.
Okay.
And Seneca spent the last 3 hours of his life consoling everyone, saying that boys will be boys.
Or was he trying to like filibuster his way out of drinking the poison?
But he died for it. Right? So Seneca got the poison. And then he's sort of one of Nero's descendants was a guy named Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius, actually the whole Stoicism thing for me started from Marcus Aurelius because he makes an appearance in one Woodhouse book called Mating Season.
Mm.
So in Mating Season, this is the dialogue. Okay. He says, I turn to Jeeves. So Jeeves, yes, sir. What do you mean? Yes, sir. I was endeavoring to convey my appreciation of the fact that your position is in many respects somewhat difficult, sir. But I wonder if I might call your attention to an observation of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius. He said, "Does aught befall you? It is good. It is part of the destiny of the universe, ordained for you from the beginning. All that befalls you is part of the great web." I breathed a bit stertorously. He said that, did he? Yes, sir. Well, you can tell him from me that he's an ass. So that was my first encounter.
Oh, what a tragedy it is that it's there was no Twitter during Buddha's days.
So Marcus Aurelius and his predecessor Stoics were far from asses, evidently. Mm. They were kind, virtuous and practical people who spelled out a philosophy that went much further than most philosophies towards helping people find calm and tranquility in their life. So basically, one of the things, so this other book that I'm reading and on which I hope to do a little podcast one of these days, is this book called A Social Leap, which... Mm-hmm. talks about how humans evolved from the apes. So, the long story short, when, you know, there's this rift valley in Africa. So, because of plate tectonics, one part of Africa is rising. The eastern Africa is just rising.
Mm.
And as it started rising, humans are part of the tree-dwelling apes.
Mm-hmm.
And rainforest cover started reducing because as the plateau started rising, it started getting less and less rain. And as the tree cover reduced, more and more individuals had to come out on the grass. And there, they were particularly helpless. So in the trees, even today, like chimpanzees, their predators are lions and leopards. Leopards can and cheetahs can climb the trees, but you will not find a single one of them climbing the trees to go after chimps. Because in the trees, the chimps are incredibly powerful. So... when humans descended, humans, you know, they had to learn how to walk upright. Why? Because they needed weapons in their hands. Because otherwise they couldn't. So they needed a stick or something.
Right.
And if you're walking on all fours, like a chimp would walk on all fours, you can't carry a weapon with you. And so on and so forth. And then that caused, they were helpless alone. So they had to become more social.
Mm.
And if they had to be more social, you needed to have better communication between individuals.
Right.
And... coincidentally, there was a mutation in the brain which led to an accelerated development. So that came at the right time. And, you know, individuals. So that's not a point. The point is that when people started communicating between groups, there a lot of social dynamics changed within groups, which is not there in other animals. So humans have this sense of pride. They have a sense of guilt. All these things are important to function within a group.
This is suddenly like when everyone got on Twitter and realized like...
And as they started doing that, they've learned how to... There's something known as theory of mind. So you realize that what you are thinking is different from what other people are thinking and they don't know what you're thinking. It starts giving rise to lying.
Right.
And because of social dynamics, lying is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things. So what happens is all humans become extremely confused and stressed because they are trying to balance two things, a sense of their own self, which is obviously, you know, you have to live with yourself. So you are essentially good. But you there are things that are happening outside which you make you act in bad ways and things like that. And this stress has been there evidently since Seneca, Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius. So they came out with a very simple way of addressing these things, which again found popularity because there is another technique called cognitive behavioral therapy, which embodies a number of these things. So I thought we would do a little summary of what these things are. And these are the 10 key principles. So basic principle, the keyest principle is that there are things which you can change, there are things which you can't.
Sure.
And the things which you cannot change, you just have to accept and just focus on the things you can change. So we tend to be upset if something bad happens. Let us say a political party we don't like comes into power. That has come into power. So you can't be upset. Yeah. Or, you know, you lose your job or you get some sickness which is going to be really debilitating or something like that.
Basically like that poster, no, which says, "God, give me coffee for the things I can control and whiskey for the things I can't."
Yeah, so that's pretty stoic. So anyway, these are the 10
But that's, so stoicism is different from fatalism or?
Yeah, so it is different in the sense that it asks you to be sort of active.
Yeah.
Right? Fatalism is more. You resign to die.
Everything
right?
is
yeah.
Fate.
Okay. And, you know, that's, you are going to die today or tomorrow, as a matter of time. Just sort of crawl into some cave and wait for the inevitable. Okay. So that's not what stoicism
is.
Though
positive.
Actually, that does make a lot of sense. Looking for caves, a nice 2BHK cave somewhere. Yeah. So, first key principle is live in agreement with nature. So, what okay. separates human beings from animals are our mental and social abilities. Sure. So otherwise, right. You know, and we are meant to apply reason to all our action. So, what does Stoics say? That you have to live in agreement with our nature by applying reason to our action. Mm. So, whatever you do, whenever you do something, there are two ways of doing everything. One is impulsive and one is reasoned.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And we all do that. We get angry on things, something, or we get irrationally sort of upset by something. So, if you just stand back, think about the nature of those things and do. So, loudspeakers, for example, you're sitting in your house, it's a Sunday morning and somebody starts blaring. And it upsets you. And the Stoic says it, because that's the nature of whatever that person is who is. So, that's what they say, living in agreement with nature.
So nature is not just tree, plants, nature of things. Wow.
The second point is live by virtue. So Stoicism is not a dissolute way of, basically it is saying that you live virtuously.
Okay.
And basically what it says is that you have to do the right thing no matter what.
Mm.
So that's the thing. Okay. It's like that.
People are going to screw you, but you.
Yeah. So if it's, and there is this thing about friendship also. So, you know, I value your friendship, but let us say I know that you have committed some crime or you've done something bad.
Mm.
Then it is my beholden duty to.
Yeah.
There's no conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beholden duty to?
Rat on him, basically. Yeah. Throw him under the bus.
Yeah. Don't let friendship come in the way of your politics, newly said.
That's what's. Mm. It's difficult, okay?
Yeah,
so
yeah. All of this is difficult.
It's not.
Because there are some things that you have committed, some egregious puns that you have made. But despite that, I am tolerating you, Narendra.
The third thing is focus on what you can control and accept what you can't. What I was saying.
Yeah. Whiskey.
So that's the keyest. Yeah, the whiskey thing. So
keep your bar well stocked.
Basically, okay. Yeah. This is useful. Yes.
Number four is distinguish between good, bad, and indifferent things.
Oh, okay.
So only good is virtue, right? So wisdom, justice, courage, and self-discipline, these are the only good things. And the only bad things are vices, such as injustice, coward, and
or everything else that solves the previous thing, like whiskey.
And everything else is, so wealth, health, those things are indifferent. It's neither good nor bad.
Oh, okay.
There are some good indifferent thing and some bad indifferent thing. They're all basically indifferent.
Yeah. So
basically,
why are they indifferent?
Because for the Stoic, it's the virtue which is the most important.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so, you can't control your health.
And wealth and whatever. So it doesn't really matter. It shouldn't affect your happiness at all.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what they say. Then take action like a true philosopher. So I don't know what this one means actually. But that's what the Stoics say. And here's another interesting one. And I think it's actually very sensible. It says practice misfortune. So practice misfortune is potentially bad. So if you imagine that, you know, you're going. So he says everyone should experience some hardships. To be in tune with what might.
So please always continue listening to
So one of my favorite podcasts is Tim Ferriss. He is a big believer in this thing. He's a big fan of Tao Seneca, and he's actually working on an audiobook series that transcribes or whatever the Stoic learnings. And one of the things that he said, either he did it or somebody who also follows it did, is they do these random experiments like you just lie down in a public space.
Mm.
Just lie down. That's it. Without any explanation, no sign, nothing. And just wants to see how people react. And once he does something like this, he overcomes a mental block. Right? Even though that act by itself means nothing.
Correct.
He, you know, feels like he's overcome, oh, what will people think? Because nobody really thinks, if I go and sit in the middle of SV Road over there, sure, eventually a cop will come and take me away. But people come, look, huh, whatever this idiot wants to let him do, and then they'll go away. It's not like nothing's going to happen.
Actually, we should, the next
No, part, please do not.
Next episode, we should have the most stupid thing you've done in a public place.
Done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So think about it. Next one is, add a reserve clause to your action. So... Ooh. Basically, what he's saying is, choose to do your very best to succeed and simultaneously know and accept that the ultimate outcome is beyond your direct control. This is basically what Bhagavad Gita says. Yeah, you know, you do your best, whether you get your result or not. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God will be indifferent to the rest.
Mm. And the eighth one is my favorite. It is called Amor Fati.
Sorry? So,
A-M-O-R-F-A-T-I.
It's like
what it means in Latin.
In love. Yeah. Huh? Amor fat gai.
Amor fati is Bengali for I am scared
of hell. Okay.
Amor fati. Yeah. But what in Latin it means, love everything that happens.
Wow.
So whatever happens,
everything
is good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is why you don't see that many Italians marrying Bengalis.
Yeah. How many Italians do you know? I don't know. So therefore, there are.
What does it translate to?
Love everything that happens.
Love everything that
amor
happens.
Amor means to love, and fati is whatever is happening.
Everything that happens. So it's more like, okay, fair enough, accepting that everything that happens happens for a reason, that sort of thing.
So
I don't know about love.
You have to love Arnab Goswami. You have to love
Enough.
Or like change the channel.
So turn obstacles into opportunities.
So Arnab Goswami, you then take the opportunity to make a podcast episode about it. Exactly. Yes. There we go.
So like what Kunal Kamra says, like, kaha milega?
Kaha milega itna content? Yes, exactly. How boring a world where all this...
What, man? I can't imagine how people lived in the Doordarshan. I did. And nothing, the most controversial thing was, somebody said that you have to add 10 grams of NPK fertilizer to... it is 15 grams. How can...
If Trump loses this election, no, I'm just wondering what all these guys are going to do. All Colbert is going to go weekly.
All of them,
So, but the counter thing to that is basically, so... Like, it's not the action itself, it's in your reaction, nature to outrage about things.
Yeah, so no, it
actually... 10 grams or 15 grams, you can outrage
about
that.
It goes with
that.
The earlier one, which says that you have to accept what you cannot change and sort of do what you can. So work on what you can. Right. And this clause is like, no, not make it a fatalistic... I can't change this, I can't change that, I can't. So if you do have an obstacle, you have to actively seek to... overcome it and use it to your advantage. And the last one is be mindful. So this is something that I've been trying to do. It's called mindfulness meditation. It's basically living in this moment, and it is very much easier said
than
done.
As opposed to worrying about what happened before, what could happen.
Yeah, so
in the
we
future.
Don't. So I, we've
planning
been talking.
For
the, yeah.
And how much have we paid attention to what has been said? Very little.
On simplified, very.
So you drift, right?
Yeah.
So you keep thinking
Correct,
about different
other things.
And so Zen Buddhists and all do that. When they're doing one thing, they do
only that.
That.
Focus on one thing. No multitasking.
No multitasking. Yeah.
Well done. Okay, so 10 steps to become stoic.
How many tabs does a stoic have open on their phone?
good question. So that's about stoicism from me.
Yeah.
And now that I have solved everyone's happiness, unhappiness.
Now you have solved everyone's happiness, yes.
The least I expect, dear listener, is that you get...
Simply send money.
Yeah, simply send money into our account. It will be there, the account details will be there in the link below. So see you till next week.
Next week.
Yeah,
stay safe.
Stay stoic.
Stay simplified. Yes.